about it as a long-term type of career and whether that option is there. I'm not gonna stand up here and say there's no change that happens in companies. I mean, just in the last 6 months in my company, we have a new CEO, the old one coming back, and there was change associated with that. Certain people lost their jobs. The people that were highly valued, they found another role in the company for them. So I think you heard that from some people earlier that as long as you give it your all and you're kind of you're recognized for doing that, at least at my one private company experience, they generally recognize that and want to try to keep you employed and will try to find another position. It has to deal with that change management. I mean, it's hard to even in academia, I would argue it's the idea of permanence and tenure is, we say that, but you're only good as good as your next grant in a lot of cases. So I don't want to disillusion you. I would say that if you work hard, put the effort in, and and make sure to show your value to the company, I think it would be rare that you would just be let go without any effort.
Thank you so much, Tim. Great. Next up, we have Carlos Bogran. Did I say that right? Perfect. And so he is the OHP technical manager, and he spent a number of years in Accenture, and so which led him to an industry pathway. So with that, I will let Carlos go on and tell us about his pathway.
Thank you, Mercy. Thank you for staying, the ones that have stayed for the whole morning. I'm actually joined the society about 5 years ago, and it was because I serve as a consulting editor for Hoard Technology, and that's how I came into the society. It was good to be asked to join a society, and in one of the perks that this society has is that if you're a consulting editor, they give you 3 years of membership to the society. So I come to these meetings to support the society, because they have supported me. I'm originally from Honduras, from Central America. I thought I came to do a master's of science and then I was going to go back. Turns out that I was interested in research, so I led to a PhD and that opened up other opportunities. But I want to start by telling you a little bit about my company. Folks haven't touched about that, but just to show what kind of work you guys or anyone in our industry can opt for. I'm technical manager for OHP. OHP used to stand for Olympic Horticultural Products, and we develop and market agricultural chemicals like insecticides, fungicides, herbicides, and plant growth regulators only for commercial nursery and greenhouse production. In the U.S., EPA requires special labeling for greenhouse and nursery production, so we focus on that segment, and that's all we do. We develop things on our own or that manufacturers, big manufacturers have, and then we become experts and we market through our labels for our greenhouse and nursery production. We are a small company. We are now owned by a bigger corporation called AMVAC, but we used to be a private company. There's 20 people working for a company. And I do technical manager, a position which includes, in a big company, would be like two or three jobs because we do program development, product development, but we also do technical support of sales, presentations, and everything in between. So that's what we do. We have regional salespeople that I support from the technical side, and what they do is they work with growers and with the distributors to generate demand for our products. So growers wanna use our products because of tested results. And this is kind of through the years when they OHP started, the growth the company has had and the projected growth, and you see there's some blimps. But we're after the greenhouse and nursery market, which in 2017 was $200 million. That's our target, you know, what we're going for. And that represents about 22% of their all TNO market, if you will. So we're focusing on that 22%, and we go after those opportunities. We are among the top two companies in our segment, so we compete with Syngenta, with BASF, although we're much smaller. I'm in charge of the development of insecticides and fungicides. these are the questions that we were challenged to answer. I don't know if I'm going to answer all of them, but I'm going to try. One thing that made me think is what got you interested in horticulture? You know, I don't know if I was thinking of horticulture when I started my undergraduate, but I do remember seeing how people feel around plants. People like gardening. My mom always liked to take care of her indoor plants, and it always seems like when she was doing that, she was smiling, and she was doing it because she wanted to. And so in thinking back, you know, that's what I like about plants, how they can make people feel and you know, the passionate, you know. We're not here to become rich most of the time, but because we like the plants, and in my case, I like the plant health part of it. But anyway, I'm going to try to answer these questions. My education, I come from a small agricultural school in Honduras. In that system, it was a 3-year program to do a technical degree in agriculture. We worked half of the day, and half of the day we went to classes. So we always doing agriculture, and you know, we got a solid base in that way. Came here for a master's at Iowa State. I'm an entomologist, but I had some crop protection background in general, and then I completed a PhD also in entomology. The first job I had after undergraduate school was growing onions and potatoes in a family farm, and so I had that opportunity to use my skills, or lack thereof, in growing. Then I went back to school to get the Bachelor's of Science, and I worked and studied for that. It was a program that had that at that university where you work, you know, to pay basically as an assistantship. And I had a chance to work in pesticide development and pesticide testing, and that's how I started. Then I went through, the research assistantships and a short postdoc. Right after I was finishing my PhD, I had a job offer back in Honduras to work for a fruit company, for the Dole. And I was going to be working out of Honduras. That was my dream job, going back to Honduras and work in a research station. There was other PhD people there. But that year, the company got sold, and that budget never got approved, so I was left in limbo. In October of my graduating year, I didn't have a visa to stay because I was an international grad student, so I had to scramble. I found a short postdoc, and almost immediately a faculty position opened in the same university that I was graduating, but it was an extension position, and it was in the field that I was exposed to, so I was very lucky to compete. I didn't even have to move, and I stayed. That faculty position was a joint appointment between entomology and plant pathology. They wanted an entomologist with some plant pathology background, and that's why my undergraduate qualified me to do that. So I was there for 11 years. I led a program in ornamental horticulture, big business in Texas and in other states, but that's kind of has been my experience. And about 6.5, almost 7 years ago, this company, OHP, which I was doing contracts with, I was doing efficacy testing. Since I led an extension program, I used to test compounds to be able to recommend, to suggest to growers what are the best alternatives for insecticides and fungicides, and one of those companies was OHP. And when somebody from them retired, then they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. The company is a virtual company. Even when it started, before the virtual company was cool, everybody worked from home and we all travel. And luckily, by the time that they offered me the position, my kids were grown enough that I could start traveling even more. one of the really cool things about in a small firm that was used to be a private firm, but they have let us be on our own, even as we're part of a corporation, is that they have allowed me to still be involved in professional activities like with societies, including HSS, and continue to be involved in the graduate education. I'm still part of the graduate faculty at Texas A&M, and that provides me access to library and you know, in any kind of research and development job, access to a library is really invaluable. So one of the cool things that excites me about my job is that I can be on both sides and actually manage a budget. So instead of writing grants, now I'm one that is able to provide resources to cooperators to not only test efficacy of products, but also perhaps answer other questions that are also interesting to me. Therefore, I work with many. Most of these names here will be entomologists, but they all have their programs and grad students, so it keeps me involved in that side of things. Even in publishing, even though my work does not require me to publish, because we fund research and we give ideas in some of these research programs, then we're able to keep publishing in that sense as well. kind of my bottom line, what I would like to teach or to tell students is kind of my perspective for industry job is that the philosophy of that team spirit, like a sports team, is really fits really well with industry, I think. You know, finding what's your position in the team, what is the thing that you do better, and then look for help from others in the team, because you're going to have something that you're good at, you're best at, than others. Got to find what that is and try to lead that position. And I think, you know, in all my time, and I was involved in sports since high school, and that team sports philosophy, I think, has really worked for me and for the people that I've worked for. It's, I think, in industry, as in anywhere else, is about being able to communicate your ideas, your expertise, your enthusiasm. So a lot of people talked about writing. And I'll make that point. Whatever role you are, if you are a PhD level or a highly technical, you're always going to have to write. Maybe not a long 50-page proposal, but you're still going to have to write very succinct those executive summaries. And you have to be brief and critical and science-based. And that's very important to keep perfecting your writing skills. I did, through my graduate education, a lot of practicing in reviewing in journals, and that's kind of how I got into being an editor for several journals now. If you're trying to write a grant or write a position statement, it's about having to convince a reviewer a lot of times. And I use the analogy of a primary reviewer in a grant panel, because that's the one that you're going to have to convince, that he's going to help you convince the rest that your idea is better or more important. So just remember that. You're going to have to convince somebody. How do you do that? Remember the return on the investment on those ideas that you're proposing, whether it's in private or public. I always recommend to make a list and check it twice. In fact, I was listening to an NPR interview the other day about how that has become really critical in many fields, including surgery. You know, having a checklist of the things that you're supposed to do so you don't forget instruments inside the patient kind of thing. And that works with all of us, you know, having a check that you can come back and say, have I done this, have I not? Don't rely on your memory. And I always think, you know, the devil's in the details. You know, watch out for the spelling errors or, you know, make sure that you're telling your story well. I also think, you know, I'm from a different country, but we all have our own cultures. Whether we're born here in the U.S. or somewhere else, you're born in the Southeast or in the West Coast, in the Pacific Northwest, we all have our own culture, our own thing that makes us different than anybody else. And I think we have to, whether it's in industry or in academia, we have to take advantage of that. Instead of trying to dilute ourselves and be like everybody else, we actually should, you know, embrace our differences and make use of it, because that will complement in the team, because somebody else will not have that culture. So develop the ability to relate to and to work with others. Somebody else already mentioned respect for anyone, and this is something that comes from my culture. We respect anyone that is even one day older just because they're older. No questions asked. He's older or she's older, she's lived longer than you, it deserves respect. In other cultures, it's probably a similar, but make those friendships that lead to strong networks, and one of the places to start those networks for young professionals, it is the societies. Make sure you have a real life balance. Even for industry, you know, it's very, very important for long-term success to have a good, you know, balance between your personal life and your you know. I like to say I don't work for a living instead of living to work. So your work has to be fulfilling professionally, but that's not the only part of your life, and don't forget that, because otherwise you're going to go in the wrong path. You need to develop your people skills by talking, by networking, shaking hands, by starting conversations, and as I mentioned, diversity is also using our own advantages, not trying to dilute them. So that's what I would advise. As far as going back to the writing and how important it is, what reviewers want, what anyone want when you're writing about what you're proposing is, be brief but precise, especially on the title. The summary should have meat and bones. It should stand alone in your grant or your paper or your report or whatever you're doing. Has to be easy reading. And what I tell folks, and what I was told, is like hand holding the reader and taking him to where you want them to go. Not assume that he knows or doesn't know or something. So. What is the subject? What is relevant? How we can advance science or its application? What is known? What is not unknown? You know, you can read that, but the same analogy that you're using for writing a grant or a paper can be used to apply to almost any interaction with people. And well, you can read the rest. This was targeted to specifically advice for grant writing for grad students, but I think it's well suited for any other writing. And I'll finish with this. I think all paths lead to writing, whether you go in industry or academia or anywhere in between. And writing takes practice. So I encourage you, and I even encourage myself. I have to remind. You know, it takes practice, and we never stop learning. Use your cultural advantage, find your position in a team, and make that team better, and I think you will be successful. Don't let opportunities pass. Somebody mentioned, okay, that's just the first job, but if it is in line to your objectives so long term, then there might be a good idea, and some of those opportunities never come back. try to lead the reader, hold hands. No one will know more about what you're writing about than you. Learn from your errors, trust your mentors. You know, it is good to question authority, but sometimes it's also good to trust that they have your best intentions in mind. The same you do with the people that you're supervising. And always make sure to make time to rest and de-stress. A tired mind is never going to work at the same level as a rested mind. So that's what I have for you. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Carlos. Does anybody have any questions for Carlos? No? Well, everybody is going to be around. I want to thank all the speakers for this workshop. I really appreciate having you guys talk. And it really just goes to show the wide diversity of people. And I think, you know, in the future, this workshop is really to introduce you guys to members of the society. Now you see a face. Now you know their story. Reach out to them when you are looking for opportunities. Like we've had several people say, it just takes that first contact, a resume, something to get you in their mind. My current job at Gallo, I reached out to the research manager and I said, hey, I saw this position. Is this for real? And he's like, yeah, let me get you the hiring manager's name. I made contact with the hiring manager. Within a week, I had an interview, and now I'm in what is my dream job, what I wanted to start out with. So with that, I really thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed the rest of the conference. And if there's certainly if there's any questions that any of the speakers or myself can answer for you, please let us know. Thank you so much.